Welcome to the MFR Coaches Podcast, where we talk about how you can create a six-figure MFR practice. I'm your host, Heather Hommel. Not only have I been practicing MFR for 11 years, I'm also a life and business coach, especially for MFR therapists. My goal is for you to understand how to get fully booked, how to talk to your clients, and how to make sure they understand what's possible for them with MFR treatment. I'm here to help you stop under-earning, overworking, and burning out. I'll lend support so you can create the MFR practice you've always wanted. Learn how you can do it too, even if you live in a tiny town, and even if you're just starting out, and even if you've ran your practice for years. Let's go. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the MFR Coaches Podcast. I'm your host, Heather Hommel. I've created coaching programs that help John Barnes-trained myofascial release therapists set themselves up to never under-earn or burn out. By going through my coaching programs, you learn how to get fully booked, and then you learn how to scale your business to 250K, even without hiring. Today, I have a very special guest joining me. You've probably heard her on the podcast again before, back in the day when the podcast was brand new. She was like a shiny little bike with training wheels. Now the podcast has come a long way. And so we're having some repeat guests. My friend Jennifer Dent Brown from Stop Dieting Forever, that's a podcast and also a program, is here to join us. And we're going to talk all about how you can stop dieting forever and what happens when you are an entrepreneur and you find yourself having unplanned weight gain and what to do. Jennifer, welcome to the program. How are you?
Hey, Heather. I love as you just said, you're a shiny tricycle and now you're a full grown bicycle.
Yeah, the podcast, it's come a long way.
It has. And congratulations on your success, because I remember when you started the podcast and look at you now.
Thanks. Yeah, it's happening. All the things are happening. I'm super glad you're taking the time out of your busy life to talk to my audience about this. I think there was a post in our coaching group a few weeks back talking about like kind of this devastation feeling or this out of control feeling that a person was having related to being stressed out and then like eating sugar and constantly needing to have more sugar to feel better and then gaining weight as a result of it and also not feeling good about themselves for the actions that they took. So they're kind of in this cycle. Do you find that happens like with a lot of your clients? Like, is this normal? What can we do about this?
100% normal. I'm so glad whoever posted it in the group, like, my hat's off to you for being courageous enough to just share your truth, because it is normal. And I feel like sometimes when we have these moments of just depending on food to feel better, there's shame that is associated with it. And we don't want to share it when we go eat in the closet or we go to the car, we go to the drive-thru and eat in the car in the parking lot. Like, we hide our eating habits and there's nothing wrong with them unless we're keeping it a secret. So the fact that we're having this conversation, we're normalizing that building a business, yes, is stressful. And for those of us who are emotional eaters, yes, we deal with stress with food, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with you. So hats off to your client who shared her truth in the group.
Yeah, and she wasn't the only one. This post actually got so much attention. I think we had over 45 responses to it.
Wow.
Everybody being like, that happens to me. That's me. I'm having issues with binge eating. I'm weighing more than I've ever weighed in my life. You know, I'm not feeling good. So I just think it's not a one person problem. And it's not just for females. It's, you know, the males in the group too. It's like, can you have success in your business and live in the body that you want and feel good?
You can have it all.
Yeah. Can we have it all? I'm like, can you please give me the recipe?
You could totally have it all. But here's why it's so jarring when you're building a business, because as a new entrepreneur, or you're like learning how to build a business, how to build a successful business, you're growing very quickly. It pushes a lot of buttons that you weren't experiencing before when you were just, you know, doing MFR work part-time or doing it as a hobby. It was like, whatever. So now when you're in it, and you're, all of those triggers are being pushed at the same time, of course, your go-to is to go eat the food if you don't know or have any other strategy in dealing with it. So that's why I'm not surprised that that post went viral and so many other people were chiming in and understanding like, oh yeah, that's me too. That's me too. Because building a business is, you know.
Yeah, it's a thing.
It's stressful.
Right. And I think I do this thing now where I'm just busy all the time. You know, that's my thought.
Mm-hmm.
And eating and exercising and food like kind of comes at, like there's a price that's being paid here because, you know, like I'm prioritizing maybe a meeting or a work thing, or I get more out of interacting with my group than I do out of interacting with the food or making conscious food choices. So it just becomes like a secondary thing. And then all of a sudden you're like, hey, my pants are angry at my body right now.
Who moved this button on these pants?
Yeah. Whose pants are these? Yeah.
Yeah. It's just one of those things. Like I actually had to deal with the same issue when I was scaling my business, trying to leave my full-time job to take my part-time coaching business to full-time. I gained like 20 pounds in that process because there was so much happening.
As a weight loss coach.
As a weight loss coach, right? So I had to go seek help to like get all of my thoughts together because I'm like, what is happening right now? Like, I just thought that I was going to like, yeah, I'm leaving my job. Yeah, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. Yeah, I'm going to make six figures and it was going to be super easy. I had no idea what was happening. And it was so interesting because I didn't even realize my eating habits had changed. Like it just snuck up on me. I just remember one of my habits, and your clients may be able to relate to this, is like when I would get out of a meeting or it was time for me to like start something new where I had to focus. And all of a sudden I felt very overwhelmed. I'm like looking at the to-do list. And I remember I would get out of these meetings. This is when I had my full-time job. And I'm thinking like, oh, I got to meet this client. I got to do this business stuff on the side. I would immediately like just push myself away from my desk and like, oh, I need a break and go right to the kitchen because I work from home. I just need a little something, right? And it wasn't like I was binging on Oreos or eating a dozen donuts. It was like a handful of nuts here, a bite full of last night's lasagna in the refrigerator. Like just those little bites, licks, and tastes. I call them the BLTs to just soothe the anxiety. But at that time, I didn't know it was anxiety. I was just like, oh, I'm hungry. I need something to eat. And doing that, like enough times during the day, during the week is enough to keep the 20 pounds, 30 pounds on you easily.
Do you have any advice? Like, how can people realize or become aware that what they're feeling is anxiety versus hunger? Like, how do you tell the difference, especially for someone that's never really thought about it in that way before? It's just like, no, I'm just hungry, so I'm going to eat.
Yeah, I talk about the five types of hunger. That's one of the things I teach, is understanding that there's emotional hunger and there's physical hunger. So when you think about the five different types of hunger, four of them are actually emotional and one is only physical. Mm-hmm. The five types of hunger, like visual hunger. So you walk past the kitchen table and you see a box of donuts or you see the cookies. Visual hunger. 5 minutes ago, you were not hungry. You were not thinking about cookies, but all of a sudden you walk by and you're like, cookie. Or you see someone else. And like, I always use this as an example because I do this all the time. When you go to a restaurant and you're like looking at everyone else's who's already eating, like you're like looking, what are they eating? Are you like looking what the server's bringing out? And you're like, oh, that looks good. Like, what is that? It's like you need to see something and it just creates like a desire to eat the food. So that's visual hunger, which is emotional eating. And then we have limbic hunger, which is definitely fear of not being able to eat later. So your clients can probably relate to this if you have back-to-back-to-back clients. And you're like, man, I'm not going to have a lunch break until like 4 o'clock. And so you eat ahead of time to for fear of being hungry later or not being able to get to food in case you get hungry. So that is emotionally driven hunger. Then we have mouth hunger. Mouth hunger is when you just need to like change the taste in your mouth or you're like craving something. Like, I just need a little something sweet. Mm-hmm. I need something, right? So that's mouth hunger. And you go find whatever that thing is to satisfy the mouth hunger. And then there's this regular old physical hunger. And so many of us are disconnected to what our true physical sensations of hunger feel like in our bodies. And so we think all of these other types of hunger are actually real hunger, but it's all emotionally driven hunger, which causes us to overeat. And then we can't lose weight.
Mm. So even if we think we're not eating that much during the day, chances are we're still overeating in some capacity through the bites, licks, and tastes that we're not even consciously aware that we're doing those things.
Absolutely. And for me, I remember it wasn't even about like, I wasn't eating like quote unquote terrible foods. I was like eating cassava chips and kale chips, like just too much. Mm-hmm. It was just too much. And it wasn't fueling my body. It was just feeding an emotion, which I was completely unaware of. So what I teach my clients is like, when you hear that voice in your head, like, oh, I'm hungry. Oh, I think I can go get something to eat. Or, oh, I can eat something right now, right? You have that thought in your head. It's like, okay, all right, we want to go eat. Let's just stop for a second. Hold on. Before we dive into the chips, like, hold on, what's happening? Am I physically hungry? How am I feeling right now? What kind of hunger is this? Is this visual hunger? Is this limbic hunger? Is this mouth hunger? Is this physical hunger? And I forgot to mention clock hunger. When we were talking about the five types of hunger, Heather, you were not counting.
I'm sorry, math is hard for me. Okay, nobody said I was going to have to do the math.
All right. So clock hunger is the other one that I'm missing. Clock hunger is when you're eating very habitually by the clock. You're like, oh, I have a clock. It's time to eat lunch. Like, I don't know who decided, Congress, the Supreme Court, at some point in time, like 12 o'clock was like the time everybody goes to eat lunch. And we just carry that with us. Or for my frustrated dieters who've been on all the diets, and when we had to eat like five times a day, 10 a.m., mm-hmm. it's a mid-morning snack. 12 o'clock, it's a lunchtime. 3 p.m., it's the afternoon snack. So we're just eating by the clock. Oh, 6 o'clock, it's time for dinner. And we're not actually physically hungry. And so when you understand very clearly what physical hunger feels like in your body, and you can eradicate and annihilate, oh yeah, that's clock hunger. Oh yeah, that's visual hunger. You can then decide, all right, am I going to eat right now? Or are we just going to let it ride out, deal with the emotion, and keep going?
So you're saying you can feel physically hungry and it's not an emergency. Like, it's okay to feel physically hungry. Are you serious?
Yes.
Because why do I always feel like I'm going to die? Like, if when I get to like, and I know I'm not alone, so I'm, you know, whatever, I'll call myself out. It's my podcast. Let's talk about me. Like that sign of like wanting to, I think it's like any of those five signs, but it feels like hunger in your body and it feels like an emergency.
So that's also a characteristic of understanding what physical hunger feels like versus emotional hunger.
Okay.
Emotional hunger usually comes on real strong.
Yeah.
It's
like
Doritos,
like, that I really need those Doritos.
Yes. Exactly. It's urgent. Like, I need a Snickers bar. I got to have that cookie. It's like, I got to get something to eat right now. It's very like, got to eat. Versus real physical hunger is like a wave. It like rolls in. It's like, hey, we're about to be hungry soon. And you notice it, right? You might feel a little something in your tummy. You might feel like rumble or something. But if you keep doing what you're doing, it disappears. Like, it goes away. And then it will roll back in like a wave and say, oh, it might be a little bit stronger. And then you're like, oh, okay. This is like, oh, physical hunger. And it might feel like a hollowness in your stomach, or you might feel the rumble in your stomach. Okay, that's physical hunger. We can actually have something to eat.
So you should be waiting until you have that like rumble in your tummy.
Yes.
Then it's like, for sure, like you're hungry for food, not you're emotionally hungry for something.
Correct. And one good way to understand, like, is this physical hunger or is this emotional hunger? Is if you think it's an emotional hunger, just say, okay, well, how am I feeling? You got to name it and claim it. Identify how you're feeling. What is the emotion For most of us, we did not learn emotions in school. We were not taught different emotions besides I'm good, I'm great, I'm bad, I'm sad, I'm angry. That's it. Right. But there is a whole array of different types of emotions that we can experience as human beings. And when we learn, I teach my clients to become emotionally literate. When we learn how to become emotionally literate and understand, oh, this is stress, or this is anxiety, or this is rejection, or this is shame. Or shame. Oh, shame is a good one. Shame is the one we never want to identify. We're like, anything but the shame.
I don't want to feel that. Yeah.
I don't want to feel it.
I think this is so good, especially like for people that are already, you know, exposed to coaching, that are already in my container, that already understand how to use the model. You know, for all of you listening, you guys can listen to this podcast and literally take the emotions that you're processing in your business, like when you're overcoming objections or what have you, and you have a feeling and you have awareness around that, and you go and you do your thought dump and you do a model. Like, you can do this same process around food and your emotions. Like, you're just becoming emotionally literate, like at a new level or a new plane of existence, right? You're emotional. Yeah. You're getting emotionally literate with your interactions with your patients and your business and your money. And now it's time to think about doing it with your relationship with food and hunger.
Yeah. And you just understand that food is your go-to. So even if you're experiencing rejection with your patient, they say no, you make them a sale and they're like, no, and you feel rejected. Like, you see that in your right in the moment, like, oh, I feel rejection. But if you don't like acknowledge and deal with that emotion, you're going to carry it into dinner time. You're going to go home. You're still going to be carrying the rejection. And what's going to happen is you're going to find your spoon in the Ben and Jerry's ice cream, dealing with the rejection or not dealing with the rejection because you haven't dealt with it at work.
Yeah. Like, you're just going to bring it. It's just going to continue with you. And then when you don't have the awareness around it, you don't have the opportunity to pause and maybe just be like, you know what? I feel really rejected right now. Like, I am just in the rejection station right now. I've pulled all the way in. We're filling up the tank and, you know, like, we're just sitting in it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm like, hey, you guys want to come feel rejected with me? Like, should we just spend some time processing? No one wants to do that.
We had to learn how to do it ourselves.
Yeah.
Especially, I like to teach transition time. You may teach this too, Heather, is like, all right, end of the day, before you leave your office, before you leave, let's just do a thing, a thought dump, a brain dump. Like, how are we feeling about the day? How are we, like, just leave it on paper. So you're not taking it home with it. You're not taking the stress of your day, the angst of your day, even the celebration of your day. Like, maybe you got some new clients and you're like, oh, we got to go celebrate. Like, what restaurant are we going to? Right. And we also think that celebration is an emotion that needs to be fed. So if we just lay it all on the table before we end our day, then we can move into the second part of our day, the evening time, kind of like with a clean slate, and we're not eating our emotions, and we can make those decisions of like, oh, I did decide I was going to eat, you know, grouper and Brussels sprouts for dinner, and that's what I'm going to eat. We're not going to McDonald's.
Mm-hmm. So it's like giving yourself space to maybe set a plan ahead of time and then honor that plan, even while feeling whatever emotion you're feeling that makes you want to go and have McDonald's instead. Or maybe you did plan to have McDonald's, but now you're having McDonald's planned and not because of an emotional need.
Right. You're not supersizing it.
You're not
even if you had a plan, you're now like,
unless you planned for it.
You're like, today I'm going to supersize it.
Only on Fridays. If you enjoy this podcast, please take a minute to rate and review it. When you take the time to rate and review the podcast, it helps other people to find it and enjoy it too. And the more MFR therapists out there using this as a resource to start or tweak their business, the better the world gets. So take the time, rate and review the podcast. Let me know how it's going. How's it helping you? Thank you so much for your time. Now back to the episode.
I just think it's so important to understand power feeling and being able to name those emotions, because just acknowledging it, it diffuses the intensity.
It does. I've been really dealing with processing rejection, and I've just been literally walking around all week and I'm like, I feel super rejected right now. I'm feeling rejected. And then I'm just like, this is wild. And it has like less power. And also it's kind of makes it funny to me in a way. And I'm really good at like processing with humor, you know me. So yes. It makes it lighter and not so serious and not so heavy. So it's just like, it's naming it. Doesn't mean I feel good about it. Yeah. But it's like, yeah, I'm just like in the rejection soup. Love it. Here it is. Great.
It normalizes it.
Yeah, it normalizes it. I don't have to do anything about it. Nobody has to fix it for me.
Right. Yeah. It's just, it is what it is. Like, oh, damn. You know, I had a crappy day today. Mm-hmm. Everybody said no to me today. I feel rejected.
Yeah.
I feel rejected. And it just normalizes it. And then, you know, the rejection passes.
Yeah, it does. Like even just saying it out loud, I'm like, yeah, I totally don't even feel like that anymore.
See?
But I know what I felt like when I was walking around in the kitchen saying that, like drinking my coffee.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so for the person who can't acknowledge rejection or whatever that emotion is, not only are they in the kitchen drinking coffee, but they're also, you know, taking a bite of the kid's waffle, or they're eating some chocolate from last night's dessert or whatever, right? It's like that extra little thing because they feel so uncomfortable with that feeling, which is literally a physical, and your people understand this, it's a physical vibration in your body that can show up as like tightness or, you know, pain. It can show up as like achiness or just, yeah, you know, very, very uncomfortable.
So fascinating. So I think for all of the listeners, whether you're in coaching right now or you're not, and you just love listening to this podcast, think about when you have your next craving or whatever, and like think about taking a pause and like actually asking yourself like what you feel like in your body. Are you having an emotional response that's making you feel hungry, but you actually feel sad? And could you give yourself just like that little moment of time to reflect on that? Doesn't mean you have to change your behavior or anything, but just like having that awareness around it, I think would be fascinating.
Mm-hmm, totally. It's like, okay, I'm feeling overwhelmed right now. Yep. This is what overwhelm feels like in my body. Uh-huh. I feel it all tense in my shoulders. I feel it in my upper back. Yep. That's overwhelm. Okay. Now I'm going to go have a donut. But at least you're being intentional about eating the donut because of the overwhelm versus not even acknowledging how you're feeling and just going to get the donut.
Yeah. And then you feel better for half an hour, and mm-hmm, then you feel some sort of way about eating the donut. Yeah. Or you're still hungry because that you haven't processed. Well, yeah,
definitely. The insulin response will still keep you hungry and craving more sugar. That's a whole nother podcast. But you at least intentionally made the decision to eat the donut. So you can't beat yourself up that much after you ate it, because you're like, nope, I'm deciding to have the donut right now and I'm okay with it. I'm all right. And you just keep it moving.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Like, we don't have to do a thing, like eat something we didn't really want to eat, but we ate it anyway, and then feel shame about it on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, keep it moving and be like, yep, I did that thing.
Yeah. Okay. Cause that shame and that regret and that guilt of like, did I eat last night? It just throws your whole day off, and it just takes up so much extra energy that you could be thinking about something else. I remember when I used to struggle with my weight, literally the first thing I did every morning before I got out of bed was feel how big my stomach was. I would like put my hands on my stomach, and then I would think back, oh God, what did I eat last night? What did I eat yesterday? And then from there, I would decide whether I was going to have a good day or whether I was going to have a bad day, right? Mm. But it was always some level of self-judgment, beating myself up for my previous night's food sins. And that literally was my pattern every day.
How did you get through that? That seems terrible.
As decades, girl. Decades. That's why I do what I do now. But yeah, it was decades. But if I my stomach felt flat, then I would feel like all self-righteous of like, oh, I did good. Like we mm-hmm. did good. But then later in the day, that thought of like, I deserve a treat. I've been good pops in. And then it's like this never ending cycle. I go find something to eat and then here we go again.
Mm-hmm. And then tomorrow you don't have the flat stomach. So then you have to be mad about that too. Yeah,
exactly.
That's like me sometimes when I like, I totally had broccoli today.
Yay, me.
I had broccoli, so I can do whatever I want. Yes.
So this is one of the things I like, I teach is to just remove the label from food. Mm. Right? Food is neither good nor bad. It's just food. It is as neutral as the air we breathe.
So say more about that. Like, what does that mean? Like, I could literally eat anything I want as long as I'm not allergic to it. So there's no such thing as a bad food.
Well, yeah, you should not be eating anything that's going to give you some type of allergic reaction. But when we, it's society and the society that we've been raised in that we have labeled all of these foods as good food or bad food, where really everyone's individual body reacts to different foods differently. So when we say, oh, I'm eating so badly, I can't believe I'm eating this, then we just bring along the struggle bus story of like, I can't lose weight and I mess up and I can't be consistent and I'm so terrible because I ate pizza, right? We just give ourselves all of this grief because we ate pizza. Or on the flip side, when you're like, oh, I'm hungry today. I've had salad all week. Like I've been so good. And we feel like self-righteous about what we've been doing, which is, you know, not necessarily the best thing either. Because eventually you're like, well, hell, I just need some French fries. You know, mm-hmm. like I've been eating all this salad, like give me the fries. So when we remove the label from the food, like we just decide this is food and we give ourselves permission to eat the food, whether it's good or bad. We choose the foods we want to eat based off of how we want to feel later. It just takes so much pressure off of eating and like planning to eat and thinking about eating.
Yeah.
You just decide how you want to feel 60 minutes, 90 minutes later. Do I want to have a lot of energy because I have 8 clients today? Yeah. So maybe I'm not going to eat something that's going to make me feel sluggish and bloated and tired. Am I on vacation and I'm not doing anything but sleeping on the beach today? Yeah, so I'm good. Like, pass me the margarita, please. I'm good.
I love that. That's so interesting. I don't think I ever considered that when I had my physical practice, how what I ate for lunch was going to affect me later. I think mm-hmm. I just really was like, rush, 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 patient, lunch break, eat as fast as you can and get back to work. And then like, gosh, yeah. Now I'm thinking about all the times I like almost fell asleep while in the middle of the afternoon. It's like, oh yeah, I probably could have like slowed down and made some better choices. So if this is happening to you out there, think about that. How do you want to feel 30, 60, 90 minutes after you eat? And what do you have left to do that day?
Yeah.
So like making those decisions ahead of time would be super helpful to feel better, have more energy and feel nourished instead of sluggish. And yeah, if you're on vacation, yeah, have that margarita and take a nap on the beach.
And understanding what foods for you give you that energy in the afternoon. Because like, Heather, you may have cabbage, right? Cabbage could be one food that like, you're like, yes, I feel great after I eat cabbage. I'm not eating cabbage because I'll be farting and passing gas and I'll be bloated and all the things. But a dietitian will look at cabbage and is like, oh, that's a good food. That's a healthy food. You should be eating healthy. Guess who ain't eating cabbage? Me.
Not you. We don't want you to have the farts.
No. It's not good for me. So all of my clients decide, and like, you have to decide, okay, these are the foods that I know my body feels really good when I consume them. These are the foods that my body can tolerate, but it doesn't necessarily feel great like 90 minutes later or even tomorrow morning. And from this list, I'm okay with feeling a little bit bloated because I really love the salt on these French fries and that's what I'm eating today. And I'm good with that.
Yeah, I think that's really a really fun exercise. And a simple exercise everyone listening could do tonight is like, do a list of all of the things that you eat that you know you feel really good physically afterwards, not just what you liked. Mm-hmm. And then also see out of those, what are the things that you love to eat or like to eat out of those? And how can you, you know, bring more of the things that make you feel physically good into your refrigerator? Start picking those.
And you'd be surprised, like when you remove the label and you just give yourself permission to eat whatever, you'd be surprised, like foods that a dietitian or a nutritionist would be like, oh, that's a bad food. And it's fine. Like I had a client, we call it an energy foods list. She had pasta carbonara on her energy foods list. Mm-hmm. Pasta carbonara is like, it's a tradition. It's a heavy meal. It's like cream and pasta and bacon and it's delicious. But she tested it and she's like, oh, I had it for lunch during the workday. And she was like, I was fine. She's like, I felt fine the rest of the day. She was like, now I'm very clear of like how much I can eat and still be coherent and focused and able to get through the day. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, someone else may have been like, oh my God, you can't eat pasta for lunch. Like you're going to.
Yeah.
Like...
But maybe you can have it as like part of your meal.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Like everybody needs to experiment because of, I mean, it's called bioindividuality. Like everyone's bodies reacts differently to different foods because of genetics, because of environment, because of metabolism, because of their hormones. And you need to understand what works well for your body and what doesn't, and just adhere to that.
A lot of it is just really just waking up and like quit autopiloting everything you're doing and quit just getting through your day to just get through your next day. Like just wake up for a second and get some awareness around what's going on for you.
Yeah.
That's like my big, just like to be a little blunt, everybody, just wake up for a few minutes and take stock of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Be very intentional.
Be intentional.
That transition can be difficult though.
For sure. If it was that easy, all of us would fit in our pants and all of us would be getting the daily recommended value of vegetables.
Vegetables and fruits.
Yeah. But I do think when you just have awareness, this is so like myofascial release forward, is like this awareness of where pain is coming from. Like when you have awareness, you have a choice. And it's the same thing with eating. You have awareness around it and you're not just autopiloting. You've got more choices. You can still choose to keep doing exactly what you're doing and you don't have to feel bad about it. Or you could be like, I'm very interested in why I have the result I have. And now I have awareness around why I have the result. I'm no longer confused about my results. And now I can do something differently, which is very empowering. And it's there for you when you want it. You can just harness it at any time.
I just think that emotional eaters, we don't know how to do that. We just have to be shown how to do that. Like once you get it, it's like, oh, of course, like, let me stop and pause and think and choose again. But when you're on autopilot, when it comes to eating, like so many of us are, like, we just don't even know that that's an option.
Yeah. Fascinating. I mean, this could be life-changing for someone listening to this. That's just like, what? All I have to do is figure out what emotion I'm avoiding in my body. And then maybe I don't have to cover that up with sugar or binge eating. Like it could be really life-changing.
Yeah. Very life-changing. And I think just understanding the different types of hunger and knowing like, oh God, this is clock hunger again. Like just like, okay, body, like well, this is clock hunger. We're good. Like we're not going to die right now. We can keep going past 12 o'clock and not have something to eat. We'll be okay. That's in itself can be life-changing.
Yeah. I know, like, so I'm an old-time client of yours, and I think one of my biggest changes from working with you was this idea that there were no good or bad foods. And I know for sure when I go out to restaurants, especially with lots of women, it's unnerving the amount of self-punishment there is around food, like as they order the food, or I'm being good today, so I'm having a salad, or I'm being good today, so I'm not drinking. And I'm just like, I'm having a steak with gorgonzola. I'm like having all the things, right? Cause I'm just like, I literally don't think of food as good or bad anymore, which is really great. It doesn't mean I always fit in my pants, but I do have much more awareness around the shame around food and the ability to go out and like, can we just quit having these conversations where everybody is just like self-righteous around what they're eating or what they're not eating and just eat the food or don't eat it.
Sit down and enjoy the food. I always say you go out to eat with people because you should be interested in the people that you're eating with. Like focus on the people that you're with. The food will become secondary. Mm-hmm. But we put so much emphasis on like, oh, I'm going to this restaurant. Oh, they got the best wings. Oh, I'm going to have like all the things. We get so excited about the food, the people become secondary. So when you flip it and you focus on having a conversation with someone, like looking them in the eye and like really listening to what they're saying and like being intentional about connecting with them, it's like, oh, right. The food is here. I didn't even notice it. People think I'm crazy until they try it.
Yeah.
I'm like, just focus on the people, focus on your friends, focus on the family, and watch what happens to the food. And they always come back to me and they're like, you won't believe what happened. I'm like, what? I didn't even notice that there were nachos.
You didn't have to lick my plate. That's so funny. Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about these things. And I think that this will be helpful for people. So like, if you're out there listening to this podcast and, you know, you're having these issues, where can people get more information from you? You want to talk about your podcast and where people can find you?
But I love what you said at the top where you were like, stop dieting forever. It's a podcast and a program. And I was like, oh, that's good, Heather. I'm going to have to use that. So Stop Dieting Forever is the podcast. So you can search for me on any podcast platform. I'm on all of them. And you can just go to jenniferdent.com to learn more about how I work with my clients. I have a group program that is open through a couple times throughout the year. And I also work with still clients privately, one-on-one.
Amazing.
My website is jenniferdent.com.
Okay. Amazing. We'll have all of the links available in the show notes. You guys don't have to drive your car off a cliff. Everything's in the show notes. Nobody panic. It's all available there for you. Thanks again for joining us. And I'll see all of you next time on another episode of the MFR Coaches Podcast. Have a great week, y'all. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining me today. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a minute and rate and review the podcast. I appreciate it. For more information, please follow me on Facebook and Instagram at The MFR Coach. And check out my website, www.themfrcoach.com, for more information. If you are currently not working 20 hours or less and making six figures in your MFR business, I want to help you change that. Make sure you tune into the show and get on my email list so you never miss out on important trainings and information. To be the first to find out when we are enrolling next for my 12-month Business Foundations coaching program, get on that email list at www.themfrcoach.com/join. Inside this program, you'll learn how to raise your rate, overcome objections, and sell MFR. You'll become the MFR therapist that never under-earns and never burns out. It's up to us to make MFR mainstream, and it starts with you and your successful MFR practice. See you next week.